You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Glory to God. Our two key texts have been 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, which says that God made him to be sin for us, talking about Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been made righteous because Jesus became sin for us. In other words, the cross was a place of exchange. We get to exchange our unrighteousness for God's righteousness through Jesus Christ and through him shedding his blood. Amen? At the same time, the cross was a place of exchange where we also get to exchange our infirmity, our sickness, and our disease for his health and his life. Amen? Because the Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. Amen? When did that happen? Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When did that happen? It happened on the cross. Amen. Or it happened through the cross. Amen? Amen? Through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then we found out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that Jesus became poor for us, so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Amen. Amen? So I see here, there's another divine exchange. We give Christ our poverty, our lack, our shame. And then he, in turn, gives us his riches and his glory. Amen? And he actually makes us rich. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How many heirs of God do we have here? How many of y'all are really heirs of God? You know it. you know that your poor days are over. Amen. I'm going to say my condition might not have caught up with my position yet, but I know one day it will. Amen. I mean, I'm on that road right now. I could say actually by faith right now that I'm a very rich man just because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. How many know that Jesus ain't poor no more? Bible says he became poor, but he ain't poor anymore. Not happening. Praise God. So there's a lifestyle that God wants you to live as a believer, a certain way that you should conduct yourself as one who has been made righteous in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. We found out several weeks ago that we have dual citizenship. We are citizens of the United States of America, but we are also citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible says that we have our citizenship in heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God. So as a citizen of heaven, I'm down here as a representative or as an ambassador for Christ. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ. In other words, we are his representatives in the earth. So that tells me that I can't live any kind of way I want to.
Amen.
Not if I'm going to represent him. Not if I'm going to represent the kingdom of God. I need to find out how the kingdom of God operates, how I'm supposed to function in it, and how I'm supposed to live my life while I'm on this earth to glorify Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There's a certain lifestyle, a manner of life, a way that you should pass your time here in the earth. God has an expectation for all of his children. We're going to talk about how believers speak. You know, when you get into the kingdom, there's a certain language that you had to learn how to speak. We need to learn how to speak heaven's language on earth. Heaven has a language. Amen. Do you know that heaven has a language that's different from the way people talk on earth? Do you know that heaven's language is different from the world system language? So there's a heavenly language, so to speak, that we have to learn how to speak. And that's what we're going to talk about, is how to control your tongue. And how to use your mouth for the right reason. Your mouth was made more than just for eating. Some of y'all think the only reason that it's there is for eating. Your mouth has a bigger purpose than just putting food in it. Your mouth was given to you by God so that you could speak his word in the earth. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:63. They are spirit and they are life. So words have power.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you the most powerful part of you is your mouth. Your mouth can get you in a world of trouble in 5 seconds. You can lose your job in the morning in 5 seconds if you use words in the wrong way.
That's right.
Right? You don't believe me? Go in tomorrow and just have a fit and cuss your boss out. Now, if he ungodly, he might just stand there and cuss back at you. But if he ain't got any kind of God in him, he's going to say, "Look, we don't need that around here. You can find you another job." Your mouth can get you in more trouble than you can get out of. You know how wars start? With words. How many of you ever got in a fight when you was little? You know, you don't just walk up and just get in a fight with nobody unless you really got a devil on you. You just walk up and knock somebody out for nothing. But most of the time, fights on the playground start because of words. How do messes start in families?
Words.
Wrong use of words. Huh? How do you get promotion on jobs? You got to learn how to speak right in the right way. You got to know what to say. You got to know when to open your mouth and when to keep it closed. How many of you ever opened your mouth at the wrong time? I mean, you got in trouble for it. Proverbs 18:21 says what? Death and life are what?
In the power
of the tongue. So your tongue is probably the most important part of your being. I'm going to say one of the most important part because God made all of us. All of it is important. But I'm going to tell you, the words that you speak have tremendous power in plotting the course that you live, in plotting out your destiny. Amen? Now, I hope my mama don't mind me using her illustration, but I can remember from the time that I was really little, probably about 3 years old, people would ask me and say, Greg, what you gonna be when you grow up? And my mama would answer for me. He gonna be a doctor. Now, I'm gonna tell you, those are words of faith. Because ain't nobody in her family ever been a doctor. She's saying, my son is going to be, he's going to be different. What she's doing? She's trying to plot my course for me. And you know what? I didn't have no sense. I just say, I'm going to be a doctor. People start asking me for a long time, what you going to be in your group, doctor? I'm just going to be a doctor. Why are you going to be a doctor? Because my mama says so. Do you know parents' words, your words affect your kids? If you tell your kids they ain't gonna never amount to nothing, they ain't gonna never be nothing, do you know you release a curse in their life that those words they never seem to be able to get away from them? That every time they step out to do something, to accomplish something, they'll hear the words of mama, daddy telling them that they can't do it, and many times they'll stop at the first little bit of resistance that they get, they'll say, mama was right. My mama say, my son going to college. That's a pretty big statement back then, early 60s. But you know what? She birthed a dream inside of me. I'm going to college. From the time I'm 3 years old, I'm going. I don't even know what college is, but I'm going. So people would ask me when I got in high school, Greg, what are you going to do when you get out of school? Going to college. You got any money? No. Where you going? College. How you going? I don't know. I'm going. And guess what? I went. And you know, words plot the course of your life. You say, you know, I'm going to Southern University. You set things in motion when you do that. Well, I remember when I was in high school, I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school, and they wanted me to run on a track team. And I said, no, I'm going to college in the fall. I need to make some money, so I quit the track team so I could find a job. And I remember I took off from school one afternoon, said, I'm going to get me a job today. I'm going to get me a job today. I rode all over town putting applications in, and everybody turned me down. I was going back to the school to pick my sister up, and I seen this big old bull sitting on the side of the road. How many of y'all remember Sirloin Stockade on Jackson Street, right across the street from Kroger? And some say, you didn't put an application there. Go back there and put one in. So I turned the car around, went there and put it in. If I said, I'm going to college. He said, you are? He said, JoJo, I'm going to help you. Immediately nicknamed me JoJo. I think he called everybody in there JoJo. He said, JoJo, you won't go to college, huh? I said, yes, sir, I won't go to college. He said, I got a bunch of boys around here that won't do nothing. I'm glad to see somebody won't do something. You come back to work tomorrow. Go to Howard Brothers. How many of y'all remember Howard Brothers? Go to Howard Brothers and get you a black set of pants and a white shirt. Come back here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. If you think back over your life, you'll see that the words that you have spoken and believed have basically charted your course in life. If you say you couldn't do something, everything shut down. You say you could do it and you believed in a dream, I'm going to tell you, if you would hold on to your faith and put your faith in God, I'm going to tell you can accomplish anything with God. But it's so important, the words that you speak in your life, that we have to learn how to speak heaven's language on the earth. We have to learn how to take God's word and put them in our mouth and begin to declare what God has said. Now, at that time in my life, I didn't know what the will of God was for my life. I'm just living a natural life like everybody else. I'm declaring what I'm going to do. Right? But that's the way the world works. That's what people out there doing every day. They're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build me a building here. I'm going to start me a business here. I'm going here. I'm moving there. I'm going to work over there. I'm going to build me a house over here. I'm going to buy some property over there. I mean, that's just the way the world works. People begin to declare things, and they set things in motion. How did this building get here? This building got here because words were spoken. Yes. Somebody said, we're going to put a building there on the corner, and we're going to make us some money. So how these chairs come into existence? Somebody said, let's start a company and we're going to produce chairs because there's a market out there for chairs and we're going to sell them to churches. How did this carpet come into being? Somebody said, you know what? Everybody buying that old plush carpet and stuff putting in their house, but we need to make some carpet that's indoor, outdoor. People in this world live their lives by the words that they speak. It's no way around that. But the important thing is that when you become a child of God, you have to learn how to allow God's words to take preeminence in your life. The way it's not you just declaring what you want now, but you begin to declare what you know to be the will of God for your life. And you take God's word and you let God fit his word in your mouth. Proverbs 23 says God will fit his word in your mouth. And Jesus understood how important it is, the words that you speak, that he said this, I only speak those things that my Father tells me to speak. He understood that words had power in them. So God, give me words to build tonight. We will build. And for you to understand that your words have significance in life and that you have to guard your lips and you have to watch the words that you speak. The psalmist said, set a watch about my mouth. So you have to watch the words that you speak. Jesus said this. He said, you will be condemned by your words or you'll be justified by your words. He said, man is going to give an account of every idle word that he speaks. God said, you're going to give an account for the words that come out of your mouth. So if I'm going to give an account for them, then I better make sure that I'm speaking some words that are pleasing to God. Amen? So the Bible gives us some guidelines under the new covenant on how we're supposed to speak. What we're supposed to speak, how we're supposed to speak, when we're supposed to speak. What we're not supposed to speak, and I'm going to give them to you. Now, listen at how you're supposed to speak as a believer. Number one, speak the truth. Everybody say, speak the truth. So your words ought to be filled with truth. That means that your words should not contain deception, dishonesty, or lies. God created you to speak the truth. Let me give you the scriptures on it. Ephesians 5:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying. He said, put away lying. In other words, stop lying. Stop telling lies. Don't lie. You know, that's pretty prevalent in our society. People lie and don't think nothing about it. You take your car to get it worked on. Man say, yeah, we fixed this, that, and other. They just lying. They ain't been more fixed nothing, you know? And you got to really catch it because somebody could ask you, how you like my shoes? And you look at them shoes and say, boy, them some ugly shoes there. And you say, girl, them some pretty shoes. And you know you lying. How you like how my hair look? I just got it washed and blow dried. Say, yeah, tell me who did that for you so I make sure that I don't go over there. You say that to yourself, you know? You say, oh, girl, your hair looks so good. Who did that for you? You ain't doing it because you want to go. You doing it because you want to avoid that person. And be lying. How much you paid for that? You know you ain't paid but $2.50. $12.50. Because you know you don't want them to think it's cheap. So you got to be careful because lying can slip up on you in so many ways. Did you call so-and-so today? Yeah. You know you ain't called them, but soon as they walk out the room, you're on their phone. Hey, I just wanted to call you today, see how you doing. So if they ask me again, I can say, yeah, and I won't be lying. Did you do such and such? No. You know you did it. There's a lot of reasons why people lie. People lie for self-preservation, for protection, to stay out of trouble, to shape people's opinion of themselves. So the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Now, if somebody asks you how their hair look and it's a mess, now I ain't talking about nobody in here. In fact, I ain't looking at nobody's hair right now. I'm looking at the back wall back there. But if somebody asks you how your hair look, and to you, it don't look good, you just, instead of lying to them, just say, look, girl, it don't matter to me how it look, long as you happy with it. It don't make no difference how it matter to me. Girl, you happy with it, I'm happy. If you're happy with it, I'm happy with it. You ain't got to tell them, yeah, no, you lying, then you got to go repent. Problem is, a lot of people lie so much that they don't even think about repenting no more because it's so much a part of their character and their nature that they lie and don't even realize they're lying. That's wrong use of words is lying. This is the book of Ephesians, right? Ephesians were written to spirit-filled Christians. Paul had to write a letter to spirit-filled Christians to tell them to stop lying. Christians are supposed to be people of integrity and truth and honesty. If your boss asks you if you did something that you were supposed to do, don't lie to him and tell him, yeah, I did it. Just be honest and say, no, sir, I didn't get it done, but I'll get it done right now. After you humble yourself another time, you'll start doing it right. You'll start doing it so he will, when he asks you, you'll be able to answer in the affirmative without lying. When you get a reputation as a liar, you've lost all your credibility. You've lost your power of your witness. Anything you can tell about Jesus, you get no credibility now. So you have to be a person of truth, and this is a part of the lifestyle that God wants us to live, is a lifestyle of truth and honesty and integrity. All right? Number two, speak with grace. Your words ought to have grace in them. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, a lot of people's words don't have grace in them. They have bitterness on them. They have harshness, cruelty, unkindness. I mean, if somebody asks you a question, you have to be careful how you answer them. Can you help me find a Dollar General store? Yeah, go on down the street down there, turn left. I ain't got time to be answering. Go over here and ask that man down there at the store down there. Where the grace at? Now, notice he said that grace seasoned with salt. Now, salt got a little bite to it. Salt is used to preserve, so he's not telling you sugarcoat everything. He's just saying make sure that when you speak to one another, that you speak with grace, that behind your words is grace and well-being, and that you're looking to be a blessing, and you might have to be a little strong, you might have to be a little firm, but at least you're doing it with grace. Amen? So you have to guard your mouth and watch and make sure that your speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. Amen? This is a good prayer for you to pray. Lord, let's pray it right now. Lord, let my speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That means that salt's got the power of God in it. Somebody doing something wrong after they finished talking to you, you wasn't even mean to them, but they figured out that they wrong. They've been convicted by your words. You spoke to them with such love, and the love that you had actually brought conviction in their life because those words had salt. They had the power of God in them. They had that persevering power, that preservation power of God's word upon your word. Amen? Praise God. Number three. As a believer, you should always speak to please God. Your words should bring glory and honor to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts. Paul said we were entrusted with the gospel, but we made sure that what we were speaking was pleasing to God. Now you need to do a checkup on yourself. Just check up right now. Ask yourself, do my words or have my words been words that I could go and take to the Father and he be pleased with them? If they're not, then you need to make an adjustment and repent and say, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to make sure that I watch the words that I speak. Even sometimes, how many of y'all know that we live in an age of sarcasm? How many of y'all like sarcastic speaking? Sarcastic speak don't bring no blessing to nobody. How many of y'all good at sarcasm? Where is that in the Bible? It ain't in the Bible, is it? It says here that your words should please God, you ought to speak with grace, and you ought to speak the truth. So, watch and guard your mouth and get rid of that old sarcastic spirit. It may win you a few points, you may get a few laughs, but in the end, sarcasm always cuts the other person. Even if it's just a little cut, you cut them. You left an injury there. Your words have the power to injure other people. The Bible says the words of a talebearer go down deep. So you can actually wound somebody worse with words than you can with a knife. Because a knife wound can heal up, but sometimes words, people will carry words that injured them around for years and years, and they never get healed over it. Number four, speak words that are sound doctrine. Titus 2:1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That means that you ought to speak things that when you're talking to people about the Lord or when you're in your daily conversation with people, you need to speak things that can be backed up by Scripture. And that you're not a loose cannon out there just speaking anything off the top of your head. If you tell somebody something, you ought to be able to give them a Bible verse on it. You might not even know where it's at, but at least you say, look, I'm telling you this is the truth. Give me a few minutes and I'll go find this for you in the Bible and I'll show you what I'm telling you is the truth. Let your words be sound doctrine. Doctrine is the word teaching. So we ought to speak words that are sound teaching. They are sound. They're going to bring safety. They're going to bring conviction. They're going to bring the power of God into people's life. Amen. Number six, and I really like this one. 1 Peter 4:11. Number five, I'm sorry. Y'all didn't have to be so rough with me. I'm telling y'all how to speak with grace. I say numbers at five, Pastor, five. Y'all don't have to be so rough. Okay. Number five. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak. Boy, it's the first time y'all have ever been on one accord here. I can't even get y'all to do a confession that loud. I said, come on, let's confess the word. I had to say, come on, y'all, speak up. Fire. Almost petrified me. If any man speak, if who speak? 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak, how? As the oracles of God, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, praise, and dominion forever and ever, amen. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister with the ability that God gives, that God may be glorified. So if you're going to speak, and that's the prayer I pray when before I come and minister to you all, I pray, Lord, let me speak as the oracles of God. That means let me speak words that come from heaven tonight. Let me speak as though God was just speaking himself. Let me minister, Lord, not with my own ability, but with the ability that you give so you'll be glorified. Because if I minister with my ability, he ain't going to get no glory because ain't nothing going to happen. Right? So you want to speak as the oracles of God. Every day it's all right to ask yourself or to ask God. Say, Lord, today let me speak as the oracles of God. Let